This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Fender Bender with Tim Nicholson and friends on Joy 94.9, revving up your Sundays with news and tips on all things motoring.
Good afternoon, my name is Tim Nicholson and big welcome to everyone to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. This is our first ever show. We are a little bit excited here in the studio. Fender Bender, as our jazzy name suggests, is a motoring show. You could probably tell. And we will be coming to you each week on Sundays at 5 p.m. It is going to be car-tastic. We are going to be doing everything motoring that you could possibly imagine. We are a pack of car bogans and we're proud. We'll be discussing a lot of things each week from local and international industry news, for example, who is releasing what exciting new model, that kind of thing, to advice for buying a used car. A lot of people out there need a few tips when they're spending a few grand, and we like to think that we have the knowledge that can help you. Also, we're going to be having tips on keeping your car running smoothly. From a trained motor mechanic, the wonderful Jeremy Wallace will be joining us every few weeks to give you the what's for on your car and to make sure it keeps motoring along. We will also be having guests from the industry and local identities. We'll be bringing them in to talk about their motoring experiences and their checkered history with their own cars, which will be a lot of fun. And we're also going to put a bit of a spotlight on some fairly ridiculous motoring trends of the last couple of decades, and we'll change that every week. So looking forward to that. We may at some point also have a segment to decide the gayest car of all time, but that is a little bit down the track. We will get back to you on that. Now, you can find us on Twitter, FenderBenderJoy, and you can hashtag whatever you like with that, or text us on 0427 569 949. Feel free to call the wonderful Jerry on 1300 569 949, or email us at onair@joy.org.au. So you can contact us any which way you would like. And we'd love to hear from you. We really would love your feedback, and we are really keen to hear from all the Joy listeners who are motoring fanatics, and we know that there are a lot of you out there, so come out, let us know you're there, and let's have a bit of a chat about what you're interested in. That would be lovely. Now, I am not alone here in the Joy Studios. I have two strapping young men here to provide expert commentary, give a bit of insight into the industry, and most importantly, to talk about the pretty cars that we love. My panel tonight includes Mike Costello and Brian McLeish. Boys, welcome.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Welcome, welcome. Very happy to have you boys here. And as I said, you are experts of some description.
Loosely.
Loosely. Exactly. Exactly. Mike, you're a bit of a professional in the industry.
That's a very nice thing to say, Tim. technically, yes. I'm a motoring journalist for a Melbourne-based publication. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for seven or so months now, since I graduated from uni. I consider myself very lucky to be doing it. I've always been obsessed with cars. I think everyone here can probably say the same thing. I've also worked as a car salesman. Don't judge me on that, please.
Oh, dear.
Indeed. But I consider myself very lucky to call cars my profession.
So you said you've been obsessed with cars since you were young. Were you a little kid?
I was a little tacker, and I had all the little Matchbox toys, and it's always been a bit of an obsession, really.
Yeah.
It's never really died, and I don't really know why. it's one of those things, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe my old man, but it's always been an obsession.
And did you come from a particular breed of car lover? Like, you know, obviously growing up, a lot of us had the Ford and Holden kind of rivalry. Were you from either of those camps?
I wasn't. My dad always worked for Nissan, so I always liked the Nissans. And then, you know, sort of grown into European cars these days. Oh. But I certainly was raised in an environment that knew about cars and loved cars.
Nissan. So you've gone against the grain there in the Australian kind
of... Somewhat. I sort of steered clear of that particular bogan attraction. But
Excellent. Oh, good for you. And did you have a favourite a Matchbox car?
Oh, I used to have this really cool Aston Martin, which I absolutely loved. And to this day, they're one of my favourite cars, full stop. Mm. And I wish I still had it. Maybe I still have it lying around somewhere, but that would probably be at the top of my list.
Mm. I think you can get a bit of money these days from like the vintage kind of Matchbox cars that are out there. Mm. If you sell them on eBay, they can actually be worth quite a bit. My wonderful nieces are these days playing with my fabulously huge collection of Matchbox cars, and they don't appreciate them as much as I did.
No, they've probably got a few more scratches on them than they would have before.
They do. Yeah. It's a bit sad. And my favourite was just this standard, bog standard gold Peugeot 405 or whatever they were. The sedans from like the, I think the taxis in France.
They were a hideous car.
They certainly were.
405. I'm not afraid to say it.
But that was my favourite. That, and there was a BMW 3 Series, a maroon one that is just awesome, and it's still around, and I'm probably going to steal it from my nieces because they don't deserve it. But, I mean, they do. They're amazing, and my siblings might be listening and love you. That's fine. But that's my car. Hands off. Thank you, Mike. We're very excited to have you here with us, as we are the lovely Brian McLeish. Brian, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Tim. How you doing?
I'm amazing, thank you.
Yes, you are.
So I try. Now, what was your... You've had a recent history. You no longer work in the motoring industry, but you've had a bit of a history in the industry. Is that right?
That's right. I spent some years working for Fowles Auction Group, going through a lot of cars. We did a lot of car movement through that building. Mm. Drove pretty much everything in the marketplace within the time I was at Fowles, ranging from cheap cars right through to luxury high-end vehicles. I've driven a few of those in my time as well. So nice. It was a really good experience.
Yeah.
And working with the actual dealership, the dealerships and the manufacturers in detail as well. It gives you an insight into a different side of the car industry that you might not normally know. They got to move cars was the Fowles slogan. Ah. We must sell cars.
Yeah, right. Well, they did it, I guess.
Yes.
Were you there at a time, I don't know, was it recession time? Were there a lot of auctions of cars? Or what was the main reason, I guess, people would that end up having their cars auctioned?
There wasn't a lot of actual owner auction cars. Mm. Most of them came from the things like lease plan, lease companies. If you've got a novated lease or part of your work package as a company car, those things have to get sold, and Fowles and others like them were the place that went through. Let me tell you, they had about 20 acres full of cars. So you can imagine how many individual vehicles. And that's everything, as I said, from four-wheel drives, things that councils no longer use, tanks, trucks.
Yep.
Driven them as well.
Exciting.
Yeah.
What was the... Have you got like a memory of the best car you drove that whole time, like the sexiest car?
At the time, it was actually the boss's car.
And what did he make of that?
He let me. He gave me the keys, told me to drive it. It was a Jaguar XK8, a burgundy, leather interior. Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Nice.
Mahogany everywhere.
Oh, wow.
I think we've both got a bit of a thing for British cars.
Yes.
Seemingly, mate.
Yes, indeed. No, British cars... as long as the electrical's still working them after about 10 years, I think. But no, Jaguars are a particular favourite of mine.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Lovely.
Can't go wrong with a Jag.
Well, you can.
Not if you've got enough money.
Second-hand
Not one. If you've got enough money.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, look, welcome to you both. Thank you very, very much.
Fender Bender with Tim Nicholson on Joy 94.9. Get your motor running with all the latest car news from around the world.
That's right. You are listening to Fender Bender with Tim, Brian and Mike on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. That was Friendly Fires with Live Those Days Tonight from their new album Parlour, which is awesome, by the way. Now, each week on Fender Bender, I promise you, I make a solemn promise that we are going to bring you all of the most juicy, wonderful motoring news from all over our charming planet. And for our very first lot of news on Fender Bender, I'd like to welcome back Mike Costello. Thank you, Mike. What's happening?
Well, thank you very much, Tim. Australia passenger car sales to the end of June show the all-conquering Holden Commodore is losing the sales battle to the Mazda 3. A real sign of the times, that one. The Japanese maker's popular small car has overtaken the big Aussie in sales from January to June, but is only ahead by a slender margin of 180 units. The Holden Cruise boosted Holden's overall sales and joined six small cars in the top 10 for the month. The big surprise was the Volkswagen Golf, coming in at number 4 with over 3,000 sales, proving how popular the German brand has become in this country. The Japanese tsunami has affected vehicle supply dramatically, with Toyota especially being hit the hardest. Toyota's former number one seller, the Corolla, lost the most ground, dropping sales by 49% from May. Supply is expected to return to normal in the coming months.
Subaru has announced it will release four all-new models over the next 5 years in a bid to reach global sales of more than 1 million cars. A rear-wheel drive sports car, co-developed with Toyota, will be the first cab off the rank in 2012, with the company hoping this will become a hero model for the brand. There's a rumour that the XV concept, currently on show at the Australian International Motor Show, will become a production model and sit above the Impreza small car. Subaru is also planning a hybrid that could be based on the stylish hybrid tourer concept that was unveiled at the Tokyo Motor Show. The Japanese maker plans to focus on three key areas in the next 5 years: enhancing driving performance, improving safety technology, and creating environmentally friendly solutions.
And in a bit of lighter news, Nissan is reportedly in talks to resurrect the Datsun nameplate after reports from Japan suggested the maker will use the brand in emerging markets. The Japanese giant is yet to confirm the move, which would see cars sold in markets such as India for around $5,000. The Datsun nameplate disappeared from the local market in the 1980s, after Australia had a love-hate relationship with the brand. Models like the Stanza and 180B were derided for their poor quality, but the 240Z was a hero car that started the Z models that Nissan still carries today. There is no word yet on whether the Datto 120Y nameplate will return.
Let's hope not. CarAdvice.com.au is reporting that a Sydney man stole a car he was test driving after leaving a copy of his driver's license with the dealer. The man was allegedly test driving a 2007 Mitsubishi Lancer at a dealer in southwest Sydney. He had his driver's license photocopied and jumped in the passenger seat for a quick spin with a salesman. After a short drive, the salesman got out of the car to give the man a go behind the wheel. While outside the car, the man locked the doors, slid into the driver's seat, and after a bit of a scuffle with the salesman, through a partially open window, drove away. Police were called and went to the address on the man's license and reportedly found the Lancer in his driveway. He was arrested and charged with assault and intent to take and drive a vehicle. What a smarty, guys.
Brain surgeon, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think there's a lesson there. If you're going to steal a car, don't do it on a test drive.
Certainly don't leave your license behind, yes.
Well, and maybe aim higher than a 2007 Lancer, let's be honest.
If you've got to go through that trouble, yes.
Don't you think? I mean, they're good, but, you know, really, you're going to go to jail.
They're hardly desirable, really, are they?
Come on, guys.
Can't get them short either.
That's it. So, thank you very much, Mike. So, going back to those, the sales results, a bit interesting there. What's happening, all the Japanese makers down purely because of the tsunami?
It's hit Toyota the hardest. Mm. They're definitely down significantly, and Holden has for the last 2 months been the number one seller. Mm. And that's an unusual thing. Toyota has dominated the market in the last several years. Mm. But, you know, that's getting back. That's being rectified. I think their factories are coming back online, and they'll start pumping out much bigger numbers again soon. Mm. The most interesting thing for me would be the fact that the Mazda 3 is at number one for the year. It's a real sign of the times. Admittedly, it's a slender margin, but it just shows smaller, more fuel-efficient cars are really starting to dominate a market which was once dominated by big V6-powered or straight-six-powered passenger cars. Mm. Very interesting move.
Are we falling out of love with the big family car, do you think, Brian?
Certainly falling out of love with the big family car, but I think there's still a marketplace for V8s and V6s, straight-sixes, whatever it may be. There's still a large portion of the community who does enjoy that. And I don't think the market should be taken away. Mm. It really would be a detriment to the Australian market if we started losing some icons out there, I think.
Mm, absolutely. Not to mention, obviously, the jobs, the manufacturing and everything. I think the tragedy in that news segment, of course, was the rumour about Datsun.
Absolutely. The 120Y, an abomination, let's be honest.
Oh, my God. I read that. It hurt my eyeballs just reading it. But, look, I did used to have a little bit of joyride in my Nan's Stanza, and it was a great little machine back in the day.
I think we all have some little Datsun story tucked away.
My first car was one.
Oh, yay! How exciting. That's a bit sad.
Or isn't it? Well,
yeah. What was it?
It was a Bluebird, a Datsun Bluebird, so that'll tell you how old it was.
Nice. Mighty car.
It was. That it had velour alarming. Seats, electric windows, sunroof.
So you got the fancy
model.
Full
luxe model.
Oh, wow. You are posh.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that.
You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. A lot of motoring junkies would be well aware that the Australian International Motor Show has been on all week at the Convention Centre, right here in showery Melbourne. It's been a huge week, and I only managed to get there today after being on a lovely little holiday, and went today, and apparently the rest of the state went today as well, because you could pretty much not move. But it was a really, really great event, really lots of fun. I've been going since I was a kid, and you two wonderful gentlemen obviously spent a bit of time there this week. Mike, in particular, you've been a busy boy with the motor show this week.
Yes, there's a busiest time of year to be a motoring journo, an Australian one anyway. Lots of stories floating around. A lot of different makers choose to launch, you know, new cars or announce new bits of news. It's sort of a good time for them to do it. So it's been an exceptionally busy time. And I mean, this is it's been a fantastic show. The attendance has been enormous. Bigger at the halfway point, it was up significantly on last year's show in Sydney. So all signs are pretty good.
And is it working? I know, obviously, we used to have one every year in Melbourne, and Sydney had one, and I think, not VCAA or whatever they are, the Chamber of the Vehicles Chamber of Commerce joined forces to make one gigantic Australian show. Do you think that strategy is working?
Yes and no. I think for Melbourne it works because it's in July. There are no other motor shows around the world at that time, or no significant ones. What that means is manufacturers can bring all these amazing, cool concept cars across. And you saw that this year. There was an abundance of these incredible concept sort of vehicles, which help numbers, which make it more interesting. The Sydney show is in October, and that's very close to some other major shows around the world, Frankfurt in particular, so it doesn't have that same luxury. But, you know, I think joining it, you've got to question if there really is a big enough market to have two shows per year in two different states.
Yeah, especially in a country like this, surely, you know, I think we like to think that we're bigger than we are here in Australia, but maybe we don't need it. And Brian, you managed to get there this week?
I certainly did, Tim. Yes, I went during the week. It was really, one of the reasons I went was to see all the concept cars. I mean, I think that's truly what a motor show is all about. Obviously, new releases, but how long's a piece of string? You know, we want to see what's coming up in the future, and I guess I say that's the reason I went, and the concepts were fantastic to see. Designs are very future forward now, and I think you need to do this to introduce that to the marketplace, so you can soften people's perceptions of what's coming up, and get them to understand where the design concepts are going.
Do you know what's funny today? There were so many kids there. It was like bonkers. Like everyone who has a child in this city turned up today. It was so bizarre. And that's fine. Good for them. But and I was like, you know, having a bit of that slightly annoyed. I love kids.
Stop beeping the horns.
Yes. What was that about?
Oh, God.
So many horns being beeped. And I just kind of thought, oh, God, you know, maybe it's getting a bit annoying with these kids there. But then I thought, it's actually really smart to let them go in and sit in these cars. And this, you know, little four-year-old boy sitting in the front of an Audi, I don't know, it was an A6 or something like that. And I thought, that kid is going to grow up and go, like, he's just going to have that as a memory and kind of something to aspire to. So it's actually kind of a bit of subtle marketing to these kids of, like, and I did it the same. I've got a photo of me when I was very skinny and young, and I was sitting in a 300Z Nissan.
Remember
the hot ones from the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
And that photo, and not like still to this day, when I see one of those models on the road, I'm like, I would love one of those.
But so did you walk away with a gear knob?
No, I didn't steal anything from the car.
There were a couple of them missing, I got to say.
Oh, yeah. I thought they took them off in preparation, but I don't think so.
Sometimes they do, but they didn't seem to at this show. It was interesting, but yeah, they didn't.
It was quite funny, actually. But no, the kids obviously loved it, and the adults loved it as well. And it's interesting seeing, and what you were saying before, Mike, the fact that we're lucky enough now to have it at a time where we can have all of these amazing concepts. And I think, we're saying it's the most concepts they've been able to have ever at the show.
It would certainly be up there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, design is one thing, but also power plants was a very interesting thing. There were so many different varieties. You had hydrogen-powered car, you had hybrids, obviously, electric cars, perhaps most importantly, and that is the direction that, you know, motoring is heading in. And a lot of the concepts there sort of embodied one of those new futuristic power plants.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of... I did notice that. It's in the middle of the whole thing at the convention centre that was kind of almost entirely focused on electric vehicles. And even the Victorian government were there spruiking their programs and stuff.
Which they were indeed.
They were. Yes, went, hello, I know you. You're my employers. But, yeah, it was interesting to see. And I think apart from the really high-end supercar makers or your Bentleys and stuff, everyone had a focus, at least a little bit, on an electric vehicle, would you say?
It was rammed down your throat a fair bit, I got to say.
Yeah.
You know, everyone had one, and everyone had a different variation of it. There were demonstrations. I don't know if you saw that when you were there, Mike, but, you know, it's just showing how easy it was to plug into your garage and how quiet it ran and what have you, but...
yeah.
As you'll tell a bit later on, I'm not a super fan of this particular move in the car market. I am a big fan, however, as you mentioned, of the hydrogen fuel cell. I think that more than anything makes more sense to me than just plugging into your house and burning more fossil fuel.
Yeah.
Through the power grid. So
yeah,
you know, there's a big debate to be had about the power plants, and I think that's still got many years to go before that's. Before we settle, I guess.
It's good that people are... I think it's great that people are even trying anything, but I kind of am with you. I don't know if we're there yet, but, I mean, any car company would be foolish to not be attempting something remotely environmental.
Well, that's exactly it. I wouldn't say it's altruism on their part. It's the fact that, you know, their rivals are doing it, so they need to do it as well, and everyone's pushing that cart. For good or for bad. I think it's a fantastic thing myself.
Yeah.
I take a contrary viewpoint. But I think it's fantastic what's happening.
There will be a boxing match later on with these two boys about electric vehicles, but not quite yet. Coming up shortly, though, we will be talking about our favourite little parts of the show, favourite cars, best supercar, all that kind of stuff. So stick around, Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
Joy Melbourne is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse lesbian and gay communities, enabling freedom of expression, the breaking down of isolation, and the celebration of our culture, achievements, and pride.
You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9 for all things motoring. Thank you for joining us. Well, we're about to talk about our favourites and not-so-favourites of the show this week at the Exhibition Centre, and we'd be really keen to hear your feedback because, you know, everyone has their favourite and the ones they go, oh, what are they doing there? So feel free to text or email in. We'd love to hear from you. Or go to Twitter, of course, as well, Fender Bender Joy. So, boys, did we have our favourites and our not-so-favourites?
Of course.
Was there a, like, I guess that I've got a few categories here. Overall show favourite car, what have we got here?
I think mine's a bit from left field. It was the Mazda Minagi. It's a concept. It's a four-wheel drive. So it's not your typical supercar, you know, sexy head-turning supercar type vehicle. But I just thought if that's the future of their design, that's brilliant. I thought it was a magnificent looking car. Big fan.
I love that too, Mike. That was really good. And it fitted with the whole... Mazda's one for having a brand design, really, that goes right across their model range. And I think that transpired well through that and their four-door supercar that they had there. For mine, Tim, it was the Toyota FT862.
A Toyota, you say?
Look, I'm a big fan of two-door coupe sports cars.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for want of a better term, it's the Supra coming back, really.
It is the Supra coming back.
Supra coming back. So I can imagine a big marketplace for that in Australia in terms of add-ons and legal racing around the tracks and whatnot. So
yeah,
it'd be good to see what it can do up against a Nissan 370Z these days. I mean, that market is... always got room for another one, in my opinion.
Well, Toyota hasn't had a sports car in ages. They had the Celica, the MR2, the Supra, and they just all disappeared in the 90s or the early noughties?
Early noughties.
Yeah.
The FT86 is fantastic. They're looking, and it looks like they're going to try and get it $35,000 or $40,000 at this point.
Oh, right.
So it's going to be, if they can get it around there, it will be the return of the cheap, you know, the cheap Japanese sports car, which would be brilliant.
Is that the one they've... co-engineered with Subaru?
They have indeed.
So, and Subaru are saying that they're bringing theirs out next year. It'll be interesting to see how different the design is.
It will be. I think they'll try and certainly differentiate at least the aesthetic of the car.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be crazy not to, in my opinion.
So, boys, was there did either of you have a, oh my God, I don't care how much money that is, I would sell my grandmother for that vehicle, favourite car of the show?
Maserati Gran Turismo. It's always, ever since it got launched, I've been absolutely in love with that car. And, you know, seeing it again only really enforced that.
It's a reasonably sexy car.
It is. It is. I think if I was to own one, I'd probably move into it. I'd probably,
you know, I don't think you'd have a choice.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever want to leave it.
Yeah. Yes. Brian, what about you?
Mine's is the Mercedes Gullwing.
That was nice.
We've always been a fan of the original. And I think they've done it some fantastic justice. Look, where do you stop? I mean, the Koenigsegg was there. The new Lamborghini was there. Mm. The BMW concept was there. You know, it really was an eye-turning show for me.
Yeah. It's funny that the BMW concept I didn't get in to see because there was a line of 6 billion people. So I kind of went, that's enough of that. I have to go. But I'm very surprised that neither of you have put the number one, which is clearly my favorite car of the whole thing, which was the Lamborghini Is it Aventador?
Aventador.
Oh, my God.
Lamborghini name all their cars after fighting bulls.
That's right. That's right. Look, it's the boy in me, the boy that watched the Cannonball Run movies, that saw the amazing Lamborghini Countach and things like that from the 80s, and I just saw that car and my jaw dropped. It is just sex on wheels.
You know what I like most about it? It's got all those Lambo hallmarks. It's got the scissor doors that open, you know, vertically. It's got the big V12 with the clear cover out the back. It just ticks every box of what you want in a Lamborghini. They've done it. Yeah, I was also blown away by it. Yeah. I thought it was a fantastic car.
It looks like it belongs in the next Batman movie or something, but even from the back, I saw it
belongs
from the
in
back.
My garage, Tim. That's where it
is. Yes.
Yeah, but that was easily my fantasy car of the show, definitely. I every year I try and have a sensible car of the show. Like, oh, you know what? You see them all around the place, but that did really well. For me this year, it was the Mondeo.
Ford Mondeo.
Who would have thought?
You're a Mondeo man, Tim.
I didn't think so. But I sat in and I was like, I'm actually quite impressed by this. Didn't you guys have one of those moments?
I did. Skoda launched a couple of new cars, a fairly unheralded, unknown brand here. Of course, they're a subsidiary of Volkswagen. And they've launched a small car called the Fabia, which is going to be priced at a very, very low price, a real rival for your Korean and Japanese cars. Mm. I think from a practical viewpoint, that's going to really make some waves. And I was very impressed by at least early signs.
Yeah. It'd be good to see them kind of have a bit more of a go in Australia, actually. And now they're expanding their
lineup. It takes time to find your feet, but I think they're certainly doing that now.
Yeah. Brian, did you have any...
Look, I have to agree with Mike. I mean, I loved the new Skoda range from bottom of the line to the top line. Yeah. I thought it was really good. Interestingly enough, my uncle who lives in Scotland, he drives a Skoda taxi.
Oh.
So I have a lot of knowledge about Skoda. As compared to Volkswagen, why pay any more? I mean, go with the Skoda in my view there. Mm. I like the Soul, but what I did find, I guess, annoying was there wasn't a lot of choice once you put everything together from the main rivals of Toyota, Holden, and Ford. It was all a bit of much of a muchness. There was no real reason to choose one above another. So I found that very interesting, actually.
Yeah, the major stands, I was going to ask you guys next as well, what was your favourite stand? Because there weren't a lot of stands, rather, that blew me away. Some of the concepts, again, were brilliant. And I actually think Mazda did a brilliant job with both of their concepts. They just looked... is it the Shinari,
other one? Shinari, yes.
That was pretty hot as well. I think Hyundai did really well this year. They launched, three cars.
They did, the Elantra and the Accent. I think Ford also, they had a bunch of interactive kind of... of areas that you could, you know, play with, sort of toys and things for the kids, and I think they did that fairly well.
Yeah.
I think it was called the Imagination Stand, which I liked. It added a real layer of audience participation to the show, which was missing from a lot of other, you know, stands.
That's true. Look, I must say, it was good to see. I remember a few years ago, a lot of the luxury brands, they wouldn't even let you sit in. Like, you couldn't open the doors or anything like that.
Wasn't much of that this year, though, was there?
There wasn't at all. No. Like, the really, really high-end cars, like a Bentley and stuff like that. That was... Obviously, you're not going to let anyone into that, and I completely understand that. Neither would I. But I think it was really good that everyone could kind of get involved. But I think I'm giving my winner of the show... I think, Mike, you might like this as well. The Range Rover... Is it Evoque?
The Evoque.
Oh, my God.
Magnificent car.
It's super duper. Yes.
That was very sexy.
It was.
That's my winner, actually. That's my overall number one, I think. But...
my friend and I sat in the back of the Jaguar long wheelbase limousine.
Yes.
And I don't mean to sound snooty, but it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It really was.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.